Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. We love you and we appreciate your son Jesus Christ. We appreciate his work on our behalf. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit who teaches us, and we pray that he would teach us tonight. Be our teacher and lead us in the truth. Open our eyes to receive your word and give us a heart to obey you. Just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're beginning John chapter 10. Here's a brief outline. There's three main parts to the chapter. The first part is the verses 1 through 21, where Jesus is continuing his speech to the Jews who were with him after he had healed the man born blind and they had kicked him out of the synagogue. The second main point is Jesus speaks to the Jews at the Feast of the Dedication. That starts at verse 22. So that's a couple months after this. And that goes through verse 39. And after that point in verse 40, Jesus went beyond the Jordan, and where he went, many of the disciples, many believed in him there who had evidently followed John the Baptist. So tonight we're in the first part. The first six verses we'll study. I'll read the whole first section through verse 21. But this part immediately follows chapter 9. And there are different views to this entire section, as there are with any passage of Scripture, but because of the continued topic of sheep throughout the chapter, some think that all of chapter 10 took place at the Feast of Dedication. But verse 21, which we will read tonight, that links this section back with the events of chapter 9. Some think that Jesus was speaking primarily to his disciples in this first section here, but the disciples are not even mentioned at all in this chapter. We're told of the response of the Jews in verses 19 through 21. So there, it's the Jews who are responding to his words here. So that seems to be who he is speaking to. So chapter 9 ends with Jesus speaking to the Pharisees who question whether they were blind also. The original writings of Scripture were not divided into chapters and verses. These divisions were added much later, primarily to make it easier to find a specific section of Scripture. If we had the Gospel of John without any chapter divisions, it would be harder to find our place each week. We'd have to bookmark where we left off. And if a new person joined, it would be kind of hard to describe exactly where to turn to. We're about halfway through the book, but just find these words and you'll be in the right place. So anyway, reading it together from the end of chapter 9, starting at verse 40, into the beginning of chapter 10, the word says this: "Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, 'Are we blind too?' Jesus said to them, 'If you are blind, you would have no sin, but now that you say, "We see," your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber.'" So it all flows together. Jesus does begin a different train of thought. He's using an illustration here in chapter 10, but there's no real break in the speech here. The setting is the same as the end of chapter 9. Jesus gave sight to a man born blind. The Jews questioned him and eventually put him out of the synagogue because he would not join with them in their schemes to discredit Jesus. But at the end of the chapter, Jesus revealed himself to the man that he is the Messiah, the Son of Man. And the men believed him and worshipped him. Then Jesus spoke to the Pharisees who were with him. And the last statement he made to them was, "Your sin remains," in chapter 9. They were blind to their need of a Savior, their need for forgiveness. They thought that they had all the answers that they needed. They saw themselves as God's appointed leaders over the nation. But Jesus has different words for them here in chapter 10. So let's read chapter 10, verse 1 through 21. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will never follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them, because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not from this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it again. No one takes it away from me, but from myself I lay it down. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words, and many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" All right, verses 1 and 2. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus here is beginning an illustration. Referred to in verse 6 as an illustration, a figure of speech, an allegory, a metaphor, a similitude, or a parable, depending on your translation. Chapter 10, verse 6. It's an illustration. There are different nuances between those words, but one Greek dictionary defines this, the Greek word here, as a speech or discourse in which a thing is illustrated by the use of similes and comparisons. An allegory, that is, extended and elaborate metaphor. So they kind of use all those same words in their definition, too. Yes?
That old verse reminds me of Ephesians 2:8-9. We're saved by grace. That would be common. It's Jesus and Jesus alone is the only way.
He is the only way. Climbing over the fence or the wall isn't really a metaphor for climbing into salvation, though, but in this part. Later on, he speaks of him being the door, and the illustration kind of changes there. But here, he's speaking of a thief or a robber. Someone who's trying to steal the sheep away from the owner, the shepherd. So verse 1 begins, truly, false teachers, those who speak false doctrine. Yeah.
That would apply to verse 5, and a stranger.
Yes, a stranger.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. So truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus does always speak the truth. The truth is in Jesus. His sayings are trustworthy. He himself is God who cannot lie. And just because Jesus is making use of an illustration here, the things that he is teaching are important truths for us to understand. Now, the earthly part of the illustration probably did not need any explanation for the Jews, but it would be a profitable thing for us to review some of the concepts. So the sheepfold was a walled-in enclosure. It had no roof over it, but it provided safety for the sheep at night. It was guarded by a doorkeeper. There was one entrance in and out of the sheepfold, one door. The doorkeeper, what's that?
Somebody other than the shepherd.
Yes, the doorkeeper, gatekeeper, was not the shepherd. He was a hired servant, someone who was paid to watch it at night. So the sheep, the doorkeeper, would let the shepherd in and let him out. He would let him have access to the sheep. This was the only legitimate way into the fold, through the door. If someone went climbing over the wall, if he went any other way than through the door, that would indicate he was up to no good. He went in another way to avoid the doorkeeper because he knew that the doorkeeper wouldn't let him in. So whoever doesn't enter in by the door, he is a thief and a robber. That much should be more or less easy to understand.
Let him out.
Yeah.
Well,
not yet here. That's coming up later. Okay, it's starting in verse 7. He kind of modifies and expands on the illustration a bit. So right now we're just taking this first part. He doesn't actually explain it here yet. That comes later. So we're just, I was looking at the natural. I was just looking at the easy interpretation, the easy understanding that there are sheep. There's a pen where they're held in, and there's one way in and out. And if someone doesn't go through that door, then he's trying to steal sheep. He's not there for a good, legitimate purpose. That's coming up later.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around what's going on.
Okay. So here there is two words describing the person who tries to climb up over the wall to get in. He is a thief and a robber. Those are pretty similar terms. Both of them are someone who takes something that doesn't belong to them. So what's the difference then? Well, a thief is one who steals, who takes something that doesn't belong to him, but a robber does the same action, but he's more determined. He may be armed. There's armed robbery. He's willing to use violence to get what he wants. A thief is more stealthy and trying not to get caught. And if a thief is found out, he may try to run away so that he's not captured, but a robber will probably hold his ground and fight whoever is catching him in the act. But both of them there are to steal what is not theirs. Okay. I'm still talking about sheep, though, and people coming in, but I know it's hard to just stick with one and then go into what it's actually meaning.
Yeah.
So we will look at that in just a second, but there is a contrast here in verse 2. He who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd does not go around the enclosure looking for some other way in. He does not try to sneak in and escape the notice of the doorkeeper, but he just enters by the door. So there's two sides. There's a thief and a robber on the one hand, and then there's a true shepherd on the other hand. So the point then in these two verses is the Jews, that is the leadership of the Jews, whether they be Pharisees or Sadducees or scribes or elders or the Sanhedrin, they saw themselves as the shepherds of the nation of Israel. There are many Old Testament passages that speak of the Lord's people as being His sheep. The nation Israel is His sheep. So in Psalm 77, verse 20, it says, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." So there, the Lord led them out of Egypt like a flock through the wilderness, but it was done by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 say, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." So there, we are His sheep. But we're people, so it's not actual sheep, but He cares for us as His sheep. Psalm 80, verse 1 says, "O shepherd of Israel, give ear, you who guide Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth." So the Lord there is the shepherd of Israel. He's guiding Joseph like a flock. Psalm 23, verse 1, I think you probably all know. "Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." That's a picture of a shepherd there. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's a lot of that imagery in Psalm 23. One other passage I wanted to read was Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 15. "For thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I myself will seek my sheep and care for them, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his sheep, which are spread out. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will shepherd them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and be shepherded in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will shepherd my flock, and I will make them lie down, declares Lord Yahweh." And the last verse of that chapter, verse 31, says, "As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares Lord Yahweh." So it's not sheep, but they are men. They are the people of Israel, who the Lord is their God, speaking there in Ezekiel. So in those passages, it's the Lord who is the shepherd And it is his people who are the sheep. There are other passages that indicate that the Lord raises up other shepherds to lead his people. In Jeremiah 23, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the land where I have banished them and cause them to return to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will shepherd them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be left unattended," declares Yahweh. What I just read was Jeremiah 23, verses 3 and 4. Not exactly. It's speaking of other shepherds that the Lord would raise up to shepherd his people. Verse 16 is speaking about other sheep. But in Jeremiah, what I was just reading was speaking about other shepherds. Yes? Yeah, something along those lines. We see that Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. He was speaking to the elders in the churches there. He wrote to them, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, overseeing, not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, not for dishonest gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So the elders of the churches are to shepherd God's flock, but it is Christ there who is the chief shepherd. So yeah, those in leadership roles are counted as shepherds. Yes?
Back in verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are to be one fold."
No. Well, we're skipping quite a bit ahead, but he's speaking of the Gentiles there in verse 16.
Thank you. So it's okay. The Gentiles.
Yes, the fold he's speaking of here is Israel. They are here. That's who he came to.
So this is
saying we're grafted in. Yeah, another way of looking at it. Yeah, we're grafted in.
Okay. You read all the way down to here.
Okay.
Instead of just reading 1 through 6, when you start, you go all the way down there.
Okay. So, the Lord is the shepherd, and he appoints men to shepherd his people. The problem is there are men who want to be shepherds, but who are not appointed by God, and they are false shepherds who lead the people astray. We find them in Zechariah 11, verse 17. There the Lord says, "Woe to the worthless shepherd who forsakes the flock." And Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2 says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture," declares Yahweh. "Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are shepherding my people, you have scattered my flock and banished them, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds," declares Yahweh. So they were not doing the work of a shepherd. There's other passages. I believe Ezekiel 34 also mentions them somewhere close by there about shepherds who are basically feeding themselves and neglecting the flock. So God's people are his sheep. He appoints people to tend to his sheep, to feed them, to protect them. But these Jews were not fulfilling their duty as shepherds. They had just banished one of his sheep. They had put the man who had been born blind out of the synagogue. They did not care for God's sheep. Instead, they were trying to steal people away from Christ. They used their position, their power, to try to intimidate the sheep. So here we see false prophets or false teachers are thieves and robbers. They are not shepherds who enter by the door, but they are illegitimate shepherds, and they are not sent by God. On the other hand, Jesus was sent by God. Hebrews 5 speaking about the high priest, says that no one takes this honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. In this way also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." So Jesus did not glorify himself. It was his Father who glorifies him. He wasn't trying to steal sheep away from anyone, but he was actually the one God had raised up. He had been appointed by God to be the shepherd and overseer of his people's souls. So Jesus is the Lord's Messiah. He is God's anointed one, the Christ that God appointed for us. He is the true shepherd of God's people. One of the prophecies concerning Jesus' death is found in Zechariah 13, verse 7. I didn't put that reference down. Zechariah 13, 7 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate," declares Yahweh of hosts. "Strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones." So he is the true shepherd. He's sent by God. And as we read a little bit later in verse 11, he lays down his life for the sheep. So the main difference here is between the real shepherd and false shepherds, thieves and robbers, they are called. Verse 3, "To him," that is to the shepherd, "the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Yes, Fina.
I've always wondered about that verse. So we've got, if he's got 200 sheep, he's got them each named.
Yeah. I don't know that they do that anymore, but from things I've read, yes, even back then in ancient Israel, they named their sheep. Each of them. So, yeah, if you're over, if you have a large flock, it might be kind of hard to remember them all. But. Yeah. Curtis. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and he who comes to me I will never cast out. Yes, that's in chapter 6. How does that relate? Well, it's a different illustration. It's kind of different wording, but I think the picture here is in verse 7 is that you have to come through Christ into salvation. There's no other way to be saved but through him.
Right, but it's God that
dwells. It is. Okay. We'll get to verse 7 next week, I hope. But yeah.
I'm sorry. This is awesome. This is beautiful.
Okay. I know if maybe it would be good at the end to just have like an overall review.
Yeah, no doubt.
And try to cover more than just a shorter section and get the overall theme a little better maybe. But I'm kind of focusing on the details, I know, and that's why we go so slowly. That's right, yeah. Yeah. Yes. He is the only way. That's right. So here, back to verse 3. The doorkeeper knows the shepherd. He opens up the door to him. He does not open the door for thieves and robbers. The true shepherd is allowed access to the sheep. But thieves and robbers have to try to find some other way into the sheepfold because the doorkeeper does not know them. He doesn't recognize them as being the shepherd. Not only does the doorkeeper know the shepherd, but also the sheep know him. When he calls his own sheep by name, they come to him, and he leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name. It's not stated explicitly here, but it is implied that there are other sheep in the same fold, sheep that do not belong to this shepherd. He does not call them, and they remain in the fold until their shepherd calls them out. One sheepfold could be shared by several different shepherds, each having their own flock in the same fold. Each of the sheep knows the voice of its shepherd calling its name. So here in John 10, we don't really have the concept of multiple shepherds keeping their sheep in the same shared fold explicitly stated. It may be implied. But here, there's only really one true shepherd in the illustration. The sheep hear his voice when he calls them, and they follow him out of the fold. When the Lord calls his sheep, that is his people, when he calls us by name, his people hear his voice. This calling is by name. It is very personal. He calls each one individually by name. The Lord knows those who are his, and he calls all of his sheep to himself. Those whom the Lord calls hear and respond to his call. So when he leads them out, they follow him out of the fold. In this illustration, the sheepfold may specifically refer to Israel, and later in verse 16, Jesus says that he has other sheep which are not from this fold, which will become one flock with one shepherd, and that would refer to the Gentiles. So whether a sheep is an Israelite or a Gentile, he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out.
So now, back in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, it says, shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So we go in and out. The other ones, he knows who's his and who's not, because they haven't been saved, you know? So we go in and out after we've been saved. What happens when we get the Holy Spirit? And it says we'll find nourishment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we follow where the shepherd leads us, whether it be out by day or back in by night. Yes. Verses 4 and 5. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will never follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So the shepherd gathers all of his sheep out of the fold and then leads them wherever he wants them to go. Not one of his sheep is left back in the sheep fold. He leads them with his voice. He's continually speaking to them, calling them as he walks ahead of them. The sheep know his voice. They recognize him as their shepherd, and they follow where he leads them. If a stranger tries to coax them into following him instead, the sheep pay no attention to the stranger. And when he tries to come closer, they flee away from him.
And that reminds me of this verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. We know the Spirit of truth.
Okay. Here, though, it's one shepherd. It's Christ. But, yeah, I did mention there are other shepherds in the New Testament that elders, the church leadership, are considered shepherds. And there John wrote, he who does not hear us.
In other words, a sealed person is sealed, hears God's word, sticks with God's word. Anything else that comes at him, speaking false doctrine, wrong teachings, we shun that because we stick to God's word.
Yeah.
We have the spirit of truth and wisdom in us.
Yes. So Jesus brings out all of his sheep. Not a single one is missing. I skipped a little bit here. So the custom in the Middle East of that time was that the shepherd would lead and the sheep would follow. Now, there are other places where it's done a little differently. Some places the shepherd drives the sheep ahead of him, or uses the assistance of a sheep dog to herd the sheep along. But neither of those really fits this illustration. So here it's the shepherd that goes ahead, the sheep follow behind. They will not follow another shepherd who would be a stranger to them. They know their shepherd and they know his voice. So he brings all of his own out, every single one of them. He calls his sheep and leads them out of the world and into his salvation. He is the forerunner, the leader, the firstborn among many brethren, the first fruits of the resurrection. He led the way, and we are to follow. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And that's found in Matthew 16:24. There are a couple other places. I think Luke 9, somewhere in the 20s, somewhere in there, says a pretty similar thing. Follow me. There's the call to follow him. When he was calling his disciples at the beginning, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So there's always that call to follow him. He is the shepherd. He suffered for us. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. His sheep follow him. His sheep go where he went, and that is the path of obedience. We trust and we obey the voice of our shepherd. So we learn to recognize his voice through reading the scriptures, the word of God. The more familiar we are with God's word, the better we are able to discern his voice and to reject the teaching of a stranger or one who would lead us astray.
Right. And that's where I got that first John.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That false doctrine, that's that spirit of error.
It is. Yeah. So the man who had been born blind responded to the Lord's voice. He first obeyed the voice of the Lord when he was sent to the pool of Siloam and washed the clay off of his eyes. Then later, heard the Lord revealed to him that he was the Son of Man, that is the Messiah, and he responded in faith and he fell down to worship him. So he was one of Jesus' sheep. He followed the voice of the shepherd. He did not follow the voice of the Pharisees. A flag flying around here. So he was a good illustration of a sheep. One of the sheep. A stranger they will never follow. Even if a stranger dresses like the shepherd and tries to imitate his call, the sheep are not fooled by this fake shepherd. The true sheep are determined to follow the true shepherd. Strangers are false shepherds. They teach a different gospel. They secretly introduce destructive heresies. They exploit the sheep with false words. They go after the flesh in its corrupt lust and despise authority. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. We find all of these descriptions of strangers, of the false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2. So they are like the thief and robber. They seek to turn the sheep after themselves. But the sheep will never follow a stranger. So in the end, the false teacher will not succeed in drawing away God's sheep. This does not mean that a sheep cannot be deceived or fall astray for a time, but ultimately, he will follow the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
If he's fallen into some deception, begins to follow a false shepherd, the Lord will eventually call him out. They may be led astray for a while, but if they are the Lord's sheep, they will eventually recognize that they are not following the voice of the shepherd. On the other hand, if someone continues to follow a false teacher and the truth just does not make any sense to them, it may indicate that they are not a true sheep.
You want
Maybe. It doesn't mean give up on them or disassociate or lose hope, but they may not be one of the Lord's sheep. If just the truth doesn't make sense to them and they're stuck following some false teaching. The Pharisees were an example of this. They followed their fellow Pharisees and their traditions and did not recognize the voice of the Messiah. The things that Jesus spoke just did not make any sense to them at all. And we see that in the next verse. Yes?
It's important to know God's word.
Yes.
And say it. If you have firepower, look to what God's word says. And I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, something tried. But I believe the Holy Spirit that sealed them revealed that to me.
Good. Good.
Right here. And it's not that it was lies that was coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even a believer can be deceived. You're spot on. But I believe that they sooner or later. And once you're sealed, you belong to them.
Right. Now, on minor issues that are not essential to salvation, we may have different opinions of things, and in that sense, one side may be right and the other is deceived, and that may never actually come of anything in this life, but that's not really what's in mind here. It's who the person you're following, it's the teaching you're following, it's specifically to do with salvation. That's the most important thing, and that's what Jesus is getting to later on.
Reminds me of that verse, Isaiah 8, according to the law, according to them. That applies to the message that you met.
It's going around. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So this figure of speech, it was like a parable to them. The meaning was hidden from them. But compared to the parables of the kingdom, this illustration should have been relatively easy for them to grasp. And they probably understood the earthly side of the illustration about the difference between a thief and a shepherd, and the doorkeeper opening for the shepherd, and the shepherd calling his sheep, and them following their shepherd and fleeing from a stranger. But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying by it and how it applied to their situation. They were the teachers of Israel, and they should have known the many scriptures that speak of the Lord's people being his sheep. But they did not apply this teaching to themselves. It just did not make sense to them. They did not receive the spiritual truth that Jesus was teaching them.
And Ryan, what we've read in the chapters before, and we keep that in mind and put it all together, it kind of looks like what they didn't capture, what they didn't understand. Jesus is basically saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man
Well, he gets a little more clear about it after they didn't understand it. So we see he explains and expands both, starting at verse 7. He gives more information to them. But again, they still didn't quite get it, even at verse 19. And then later, at the Feast of the Dedication, they were just unclear. If you are the Christ, tell us openly, tell us plainly. They just still didn't get what he was teaching them. So, until the Holy Spirit opens up the ears of an unbeliever, the truth just does not make any sense to them. To him. And unless the Holy Spirit speaks to his heart, he will not believe. So when we speak to unbelievers, we can try to simplify the truth, make things easy to understand, and that can be a good thing. But we should not be making things complicated. But the Lord's sheep will hear his voice, that is his word, and they will respond to it. Maybe not right away, so don't give up on a person just because he does not believe the gospel right away. Just keep trying. Keep speaking the truth, because if he is one of the Lord's sheep, one day he will respond. So keep at it, keep speaking, and keep praying. Now, I spent, admittedly, way too much time today watching YouTube videos trying to find something appropriate. I found a few with people. Strangers would come up and call sheep, and they wouldn't come, but then the shepherd called, and the whole flock would come running to him. Or there was one where a couple of strangers were trying to approach the sheep, and the sheep were just running away whenever they got close. But when the shepherd came, the sheep would take the food out of his hand, and the stranger then would take the same food and try to feed it, and the sheep would have nothing to do with it. But I did find one here I wanted to play. It's just a couple minutes. Just a shepherd calling the sheep. Kind of hard to see them all in the fog, but there's a lot of sheep back there. They'll come running in a couple minutes. There they come running. A few of them. Right. He doesn't seem to be calling them by name, though.
They're still coming.
Yeah, there's still more. Here comes some more. Yeah. Yeah, something he spreads out on the ground for them to eat. Some of them are wandering off already. I don't think he's speaking English, so.
Those are running off.
That reminds me of that verse right here. She'll go in and out and find pasture. At the end of it, says, God's word nourishes us.
Mm-hmm. I saw another one where they actually were gathering a larger flock into a pen, but they used a couple of sheep dogs to help assist with that. At first, they were just calling and whistling for them, and they started all coming. But
you must be tired after a day of following them around. Get them back to where they belong.
Yeah, it would be tiring work. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're interested, there are other videos out there that you can look up and see some of that stuff. But
So then, Ryan, the sheep hear his voice, and the other ones don't, the non-believer. They have to be drawn by God before they can. In other words, the Jews were, they didn't hear, they didn't understand what he was saying. A lot of times when
right.
They have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit, by God.
Mm-hmm.
They get saved and praise the Lord, but if they don't,
Yeah.
So when it says robbers and thieves that we read are obviously non-believers that are trying to come up, that reminds me. Then the names say, hey, wait, there is no way. You know,
the robbers and thieves applied more to the Pharisees who were trying to get people away from Jesus to follow them. Or other false teachers who try the same thing.
Right, and they were also on works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's where I came up with that. Ephesians 2:9, we're saved by grace and faith and Christ.
Yeah.
Himself, not works. I believe that he was basically trying to get the point to them, look, man, I am the way, the only way. There is no other way. That's what I was getting the concept of what we were reading.
Okay. It is.
Yeah, that's what I was getting from it. I was trying to put it all together, everything that you read through, because I was still hearing all those other verses hitting me left and right from what you read all the way through.
So, a little bit later, Jesus says he's the door, and then a little bit after that, he's the shepherd, and he's not like the both at the same time, so he's kind of taking it one part at a time, sort of.
But he's saying, I am the door, and all coming through the door will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's the door, in other words, he's the Savior, he's the only way, and all that come through the door, God walks through the door, we come through the door to Jesus, so if God is the door, we will be saved. That's why all those other scriptures will come in.
Okay.
Yep.
And he calls all of his own sheep by name. Yep. Okay. Anything else? No?
Okay. So a thousand sheep could be out there together, and the shepherd calls them just as sheep come.
Yeah. Yeah. It just reminded me, there's another one I saw. It wasn't in English, but some person had a notepad with the names of the sheep, and he was calling them off one by one, and the different sheep would baa back as he read off their name. All right. Let's pray again, and we can go. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word, your truth. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, our shepherd, for calling us by name. We thank you for saving us by grace through faith. We thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you for leading us to pasture. We thank you for the nourishment we receive in your word. We pray that we would not be easily deceived or swayed by a stranger, but that we would be just rooted and grounded in the truth, firmly established in the faith wherein we have been taught. We just pray that we would persevere, keep the faith, and we pray that you would use us to draw other sheep to you. We want to see more in your one fold, your one family, your people. We want to see your kingdom grow, and so we pray that you use us for this task. Help us, Father, help us to be obedient to your word and your call. In Jesus' name, amen.